Welcome back to Startup Health Now, the podcast where we celebrate the entrepreneurs and innovators who are transforming health. I'm your host, Logan Plaster. I don't know about you, but when I think about crowdfunding, I generally think about a Kickstarter campaign for a viral product, let's say a 3D printed prosthetic limb or some new board game under development. That perspective changed after I had a conversation with Jim Iverson, the CEO and co-founder at Senjam Pharmaceuticals. Jim has been a part of the Startup Health community since 2018, and I learned recently that he has successfully raised more than $3 million through crowdfunding platforms like Red Crow and WeFunder. I wanted to hear exactly how he did it, so I invited him on for a masterclass in front of an audience of a few dozen founders from our community. The following conversation you'll hear is an excerpt from that full hour. Jim and I dive into which crowdfunding platforms are best for healthcare startups, how to get your first campaign launched, and strategies for incentivizing your investors. Interestingly, you'll hear how Jim has created a portfolio of 22 patents and made a way to give fractional royalty rights to that portfolio of patents to folks who invest. We'll also talk about the kind of communication strategy necessary to turn your current investors into repeat investors. Let's get into the session. So when people think about crowdfunding, I think it would be understandable for folks to think, that's not for me. That's not for my type of business. Maybe Jim's got some magic product or startup that works better for crowdfunding than my company would. So let's just start by understanding you, a bit of your background, and what you're building at Senjam.
I've spent a career in supply chain. I've built a number of supply chain companies, both on the engineering robotics side and on the software side. I sold my last operating company 7 years ago, a software company I had in Houston. And it was at that time, my wife, Jackie, who's a pharmacist, came to me with this idea about changing the course of inflammation and how inflammation is such the red thread through, you know, most disease states, with acute inflammation going to chronic, chronic inflammation gone untreated goes to tissue damage, disease, and death. And we started out with this in mind, looking at some large unmet needs that Jackie had interest in. And prior to 2020, we self-funded the company, and we did that. And then in 2020 was our first foray into crowdfunding. Leading up to that, I was a student of crowdfunding. I was fascinated when the Jobs Act came out. I like disruptive technology. As we're looking to disrupt the life science space, we saw this coming through as from a fintech perspective of really giving access to capital to companies and allowing retail unaccredited investors to participate in investments that they've never been able to participate. We started our first campaign with a company called Red Crow, and we raised about $600,000 with under Reg D. And then we went to WeFunder after that and raised over $1 million with WeFunder.
I think when a lot of folks think about crowdfunding, they think about things like Kickstarter, obviously, huge player. But that has been more known for sort of viral products like tiny projectors and collapsible bottles and things like that. So, but that's sort of the old way. And there's a whole new world, like you mentioned, WeFunder, and you said Red Crow. Beyond those two, can you give us a little bit of an industry overview? Kind of what's the current state of crowdfunding for startups like the folks on this call?
Yeah, so the two lead horses are StartEngine and WeFunder. And then there's a whole bunch of other players that are behind that all have an offering. But, there's a rating company called King's Crowd. And King's Crowd, similar to what Moody's or Standard & Poor's rating stocks, King's Crowd was created in order to evaluate crowdfunding companies, as well as the companies like Senjam who are in crowd, who are part of a crowdfunding initiative.
Is there a type of startup that you think is particularly well suited to this type of raising? Is there a type of company that is really not well suited, or is it just a matter of your ability to sort of execute?
My entrepreneurial career has been focusing on what we can do and not what we can't do. If you're a health transformer and you got a moonshot and you've got a large unmet need, which is in defining any business model, you know, you need a large unmet need, you need some type of proprietary technology, you need a team to execute, you need to know how much money you need to get to an inflection point, and where you're going to, how you're going to raise that capital. And then you need to, number five is you want to make investors a lot of money. I think anyone who can identify those five elements has potential for crowdfunding. Crowdfunding is an incredible proxy for how well your business is and what you're doing. After trying a bunch of the different crowdfunding companies, we've done two campaigns now on WeFunder, and we're very, very partial based on everything I've learned to what WeFunder does. They do some really unique things that others don't. The ability to test the waters. So you're able to set up a campaign page very, very quickly, and then you're able to go out and do some testing of the waters to see how well your campaign's gonna go. And yeah, you can make a decision before you press the go public button, which means that you're now allowing anybody to buy it, whether you have enough momentum or not. And so there's a way of, if you're not feeling up to it or you don't feel like you have the momentum, you could pull it, and there's no real damage.
It's low risk is what I hear you saying.
Low risk.
Exactly. And a relatively low time commitment. A couple of details. You said you could get a page set up pretty quick. How long did it take you to get set up?
It's less than a day.
Okay. Less than a day. To do like the initial, obviously, we can talk about marketing and talk about how much you built it out. Do you have to spend time on this every week? What's the maintenance that you have to put into it?
Yeah, one of the things that I realized, this is serious. So after while you're getting your campaign up and you're testing the waters, you've got to complete a Reg CF form, and it's really like it's filed with the SEC, and every year you have to do annual filings. And what I learned with some of the different crowdfunding companies, some are much better at helping you with that than others. So that's a big thing to do and complete. It's not hard. They, WeFunder has been fantastic with, with the work that we've done there. And then after that, after you test the waters and you feel like it's, time to green light things, you flick the switch and you're live. When we first started, I asked the question of how many of the investors come from the crowdfunding company, and everybody said 60 to 70%. And I realized that was not true at all. And I think that there, if you were to ask any of the crowdfunding companies now, they would probably say, 20 to 30% are, coming from our investors, and the rest come from, your investor base, which is, friends, family, and, contacts and all of that.
Tell me about like the inflection point. So you put a campaign live, you have no idea really how it's going to go. And what's your first step in terms of letting the world know? Is it mostly LinkedIn? And at what point do you start to see a little bit of growth?
Yeah, so it's all the traditional social media stuff, but within the crowdfunding companies, they have update pages, and some are better than others. Looking at WeFunder's ability to create an update and then take that link and put that link onto LinkedIn or Facebook or other social media things, that's a real great tool, and that's worked very, very well for us. And as people start to follow you, when you put an update out, it goes to all of your followers as well. And that's when you start building the ecosystem of followers and investors. In addition to that, SendJam has been very, very heavy on marketing to our existing investors. High communication, high touch, and then putting updates and then doing webinars. Webinars have been the highest performing for SendJam, have been the highest performing return for given the work that we're doing. And I send personal emails. When we get a new investor, I send personal emails to everybody, and then I put them on our Angel Span investor relations letter for following up.
Let's go to some questions from the chat. We've got a bunch of good ones. We're going to start with Ariel Messer from Insulern.
So my question is, what are the advantages of doing crowdfunding as opposed to raising money with VCs? And are there any downsides of crowdfunding as opposed to VCs or just in general?
You know, when we first started, when I first got involved in crowdfunding, there was a little bit of pushback and around VCs and VCs saying, oh, you're doing crowdfunding. And it's been much more accepted now. And another reason we chose WeFunder sets up a special purpose vehicle. And so you have one line item on your cap table. So, and that's a real advantage over some of the other crowdfunding companies.
Let's go to a question from Piyush Gupta from Ambrosia. Go ahead.
You tried before Red Crow, and which one is better and why? And what we need to be cautious about and how we can market it better?
Yeah, so we first went to Red Crow, and then after that we went to WeFunder, and then we did Start Engine, and then we did DealMaker, and then we went back to WeFunder. And, it's a three-dimensional, if not four-dimensional equation, because, you know, a big part of it is what type of security you're setting up, whether it's equity, preferred equity, debt, a safe. SengJam is about truth, trust, and transparency. And one of the things that I've found that there are a lot of people who aren't so truthful, and it's only through working with them that you find out that they're overselling and under-delivering. And for an entrepreneur, that, like, they're the mistakes that I want every entrepreneur to make sure that they avoid, because, you know, it's one thing if it's 5 or 10,000, if it's 50 or 75,000, that could be the end. We've circled back to WeFunder for a reason. The ability to do updates without somebody editing your updates and seeing whether it's good enough to go out. You know, their support, the account administrator has been good. With some of the others, we've always bought all the white glove treatment. Anything, if somebody offered something, we'd always buy it, because I would never want to say we didn't do the best, we didn't try the best that we could. And even buying some of those white glove treatments, we often got a lot less than what we thought we were getting.
Before I get into a couple more questions, I just want to talk about time, because time is such a valuable asset for any founder. And if they're thinking about this as a possible tool, they're thinking, is this the best use of my time? For the folks on this call, how do you think they should go about assessing that question?
I'm pretty structured with this, that we, our marketing person and myself have a call every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And we put our comms calendar together for the week of how we're going to communicate. And then we are forever generating a lot of content, for whether it's publishing papers, whether it's getting patents filed, whether it's starting trials, new partnerships, and looking at all of that. You know, as we're repurposing small molecules, we're repurposing as much content as we can possibly create. And startup health is a great forum for that too, because when, you know, we all have our landing page there, and we repurpose so much of the material that's published. And so, from an allocation of time perspective, you know, one of the things I love about a crowdfunding is that it's open 24/7. And there's thresholds that when you hit certain milestones that they do, they'll do a promotional push for you into a larger audience or a targeted audience. And I spend, between 1 and 2 days a week.
Let's go to a question from Ronak from MedcoShare.
Is there an amount where you would say, you know what, crowdfunding is not worth it? So like, for example, if you're trying to raise $5 or $10 million, would you go, you know, maybe it's just better I go to VC route or, you know, private equity route? Like, what's your kind of cutoff for crowdfunding?
You know, SengJab's mission is to develop therapeutics that are safe, efficacious, and accessible to all. So that accessibility to all is like baked into everything we do. Like, so that's a big part of who we are. So gaining access to retail investors, I don't know where we'll draw the line. We'll probably draw the line when a big investor comes in and says, you can't do that anymore. And I hope that never occurs.
Let's squeeze in one more question about sort of the logistics of marketing and really getting your campaign out there. So Mark Mathis, can you come off mute and ask your question?
How are you doing the marketing to find the investors to bring them to the site so that they may be able to buy on the crowdfunding platform?
Yeah. So what we're doing directly is, you know, we've used PitchBook and, you know, we've done a lot of sorts around, you know, family offices, individual investors, high net worth individuals. Then we've taken those CSV files and we've uploaded them to our investor relations database. And I track the analytics very, very closely with open rates. And so that's what we're doing. And then we're using all the social media outlets and repurposing everything with our goal of trying to get them onto our investor relations database. Then on the WeFunder side, you know, we're publishing updates with WeFunder, and that's going to people who are following us, and then they're coming into our network as well. There's a lot of picks and shovel people out there that, you know, promise you the world, from, you know, paying $3,000 a month to we've paid up to $15,000 a month. When you sign up for somebody, you got to give them at least 3 months to see if there's any there. And unfortunately, the vast majority, you know, haven't produced much. And, you know, we get bombarded every day with people promising that we can do, you know, we can bring in all these contacts, and we've not spent any money on ad campaign.
Jim, you mentioned that you've had a lot of success with webinars. Give us just 60 seconds on kind of how you frame out a webinar and what makes it successful.
Relevant to the work that we're doing, always talking about our lead assets. If there's a tipping point event or, you know, an event, a lot of times we'll just invite our investors to those. And, you know, that's been very, very fruitful. We've gotten so many comments about our transparency, and it's more about educating people about what we're doing, how we're doing it, telling our story, you know, how we're advancing our technology and what to expect, and let people similar to this to let everybody ask questions.
You know, something you mentioned to me when we were talking before the interview was about the emotional side of building a community of people who believe in you, because it's a grind. It's difficult to be a startup, to be a founder. And so maybe you could talk just a little bit about that side and how you get sort of fed by the success of the campaign.
Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up again. And we, you know, we have a slogan that the invested dollars fund the engine of SendJam, but it's the kind words that fuel our soul. So I get notes from people who are they echo back the work that we're doing, the appreciation of the work that we're doing, the impact that we're making. They truly know deeply. They're reading everything that we send. They're participating in our webinars. And yeah, I make it a point, as I said earlier, that, you know, every time we get an investor, it doesn't matter what size, there's a personal note I write to them thanking them. And if they made a comment, I acknowledge the comment that they made. Yeah.
I think that is a huge piece of your success, Jim. And I applaud you for really going that extra mile. I've heard from other folks that it takes that kind of attention to detail for something like this to be successful.
Yeah, you know, I'm all about best practices, and I'm all about sharing best practices, because we all succeed. You know, together everybody achieves more.
What's your final takeaway for this group? We started out with a poll. 95% of folks are interested in thinking about crowdfunding. What's your final word to them?
So my final word is, if you're interested in doing it, try it and try the testing of the waters. Get a campaign up. It's not a big time investment. And you know, if you truly believe in what you're doing, there's a point where we got to sell it. Every one of us has to get out there and sell what we're doing. And this is an opportunity of doing that.
I love it. Jim, thank you for taking the last hour. But more than that, thank you for your attitude on calls for the last 5-6 years as you've been helpful to other founders.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, team.
Thanks for listening to Startup Health Now. We'll be back again with another episode next week.